It's winter in London, 1939. The streets are dim, covered in blackout curtains. The city holds its breath as the first air raid sirens wail. In a small chapel, not far from Buckingham Palace, a man stands behind a pulpit. His voice is calm and steady. The congregation listens, not to a politician, not to a soldier, but to a preacher who was once a doctor. And his name is David Martin Lloyd Jones. I'm Lorelei Siemens, and this is the Church History Podcast. Welcome back to the podcast. I'm your host, Lorelei Siemens. And today, we're continuing our series on the Church at War. David Martin Lloyd Jones was born on December 20th, 1899 in Wales, the last year of a fading century and on the brink of a modern world. Wales at the time was living with the memory of a revival. The village where Martin was raised, the name Daniel Rowland was still spoken with reverence. There were stories of fire from heaven and a faith that could change a nation. But the 20th century had other plans. Industrialization swept across Britain. Rationalism and modernism began to challenge faith. By the time Martin reached adolescence, war had broken out across Europe. World War I. Martin was just a teenager when the world exploded. The trenches of France devoured a generation of young men. His older brother, Harold, left for the war and became a victim of the 1918 influenza pandemic. Martin himself was spared from the trenches because he was not quite old enough to go. But he wasn't spared the questions that the war raised. Why do men destroy one another? What happens when faith meets fear on a battlefield? When the world rebuilt, Martin chose medicine. He trained at St. Bartholomew's Hospital in London. He was a brilliant student, quickly becoming the assistant of the royal physician, Sir Thomas Horder. At just 26 years old, he'd achieved what many dream of. He had prestige, wealth, and respect. But as he sat across from patients in Harley Street, he began to sense something deeper. The illness he treated, sleeplessness, anxiety, despair, these ran far beyond just the problems of the body. And then he said these words, "I saw that people needed the gospel more than they needed medicine." In 1927, Martin made a decision that stunned London's medical elite. He left medicine altogether. He married Bethan Phillips, who was a doctor herself, and together they moved back to Wales. Their new home was no fashionable townhouse. Instead, it was just a modest home beside the docks in Port Talbot. The newspapers called it the doctor who left Harley Street for a dockside pulpit. He preached among miners, steel workers, dockhands, men broken by poverty and drink. And slowly, revival began to stir again. Families became restored. Drunkards were redeemed. People crowded the small church until the aisles overflowed. Now, Martin's sermons were not these emotional spectacular. They were, as he would later call them, logic on fire. He spoke with the precision of a physician, but he had the passion of an Old Testament prophet. His aim was not to entertain the masses. He wanted to confront the soul. Then, in the 1930s, as fascism rose in Europe and atheism spread through Britain, Martin Lloyd Jones warned that humanity's problem was not political. The problem was spiritual. He believed that without a transformed heart, no nation could be healed. By 1939, the world was once again on the brink of war. That year, Martin moved his family to London and became the associate pastor of Westminster Chapel, serving alongside the famous G. Campbell Morgan. The very week before his appointment started, Germany invaded Poland.
I am speaking to you from the cabinet room at 10 Downing Street. This morning, the British ambassador in Berlin handed the German government a final note stating that unless we heard from them by 11 o'clock, that they were prepared at once to withdraw their troops from Poland, a state of war would exist between us. I have to tell you now that no such undertaking has been received, and that consequently, this country is at war with Germany.
And World War II had begun. While London braced for bombing, the people of Westminster Chapel gathered in the heart of the city. They came seeking hope, not from their government. They wanted hope from God. During the Blitz, as bombs fell just blocks away from the church, Martin preached with a calm authority, and he refused to close his chapel. He said, "We will worship God as long as God allows us breath." Then, one night, while preaching, a bomb struck nearby. The church rocked, and dust filled the sanctuary. For a moment, the congregation thought they had died. They would be in heaven. But then the dust settled, and they found themselves alive, covered in white ash. Some were laughing, and some were crying. Martin Lloyd Jones stepped back up to the pulpit and simply said, "We shall continue," and then continued his sermon. As London burned, his sermons called people back to the unshakable truth of Scripture. He preached not political victory, but of spiritual endurance during this difficult, hard time. Then he wrote a book, Why Does God Allow War? And he reminded the readers that suffering was not senseless, but a means of awakening the soul. He wrote these words, "God permits war to remind us of our frailty, that we are but dust, and that our hope doesn't lie in nations, but in Him." His faith was not abstract. It was forged in the reality of a world at war. After the war, Westminster Chapel grew into one of the most influential evangelical churches in the world. Sunday nights filled with students, nurses, actors, soldiers, all drawn to hear this man who spoke as though eternity really mattered. His Friday night Bible studies, where he went verse by verse through books like Romans, were legendary. His sermons could last an hour, and yet nobody left early. One student said, "It felt like you were in the presence of something infinitely holy." He became known as the Doctor. But Martin Lloyd Jones was never content with mere intellect. He believed Christianity was not only a sense of doctrines, but an encounter with the living God. The Christian faith, he said, is not a philosophy. It is power. It is life of the Holy Spirit in the soul of man. This conviction guided him through controversies, especially in 1966, when he called evangelicals to separate from denominations that were denying the truth of the gospel. It caused division and even conflict with some of his friends, such as John Stout. But for Martin Lloyd Jones, purity of doctrine was not a luxury. It was life or death for the church. In 1968, after a serious operation, Martin retired from his Westminster Chapel. But retirement did not silence him. He began editing sermons, he wrote commentaries, and he continued counseling young ministers. His commentary on the Book of Romans, which is 14 volumes long, became his magnum opus, unfolding the gospel verse by verse with clarity and fire. In his final years, his emphasis turned to joy, the joy of the Holy Spirit. In one of his last interviews, he said, "The intellect is not enough. We must experience the living God. The joy has disappeared. We must have it back." He preached his last sermon in 1980 in a small Baptist chapel in Sussex. A few months later, on St. David's Day 1981, he slipped quietly into glory. Before his death, he told his family, "Do not pray for healing. Do not try to hold me back from the glory." He was gone, but his voice still speaks through thousands of sermons preserved by the MLT Trust, through the pastors he's mentored, and through every believer who's learned that truth and spirit, head and heart, belong together. And even in my own personal library, I have many of his books. In a century scarred by war, Martin Lloyd-Jones reminded the church that the greatest battle is not fought on the fields of Europe. It's within the human heart. He believed that only the gospel, God's power to change lives, can bring real peace. Today we live in a world, again, torn by confusion. His words can still challenge us. He said, "Do you know anything of this fire? If not, ask him to send his spirit and his love into you until you are melted and moved. Faith that burns, truth that holds, courage that endures." That was Martin Lloyd-Jones. Coming up in December, I'm going to be replaying some of our past episodes from our Christmas episodes. So if there are some favorite Christmas stories or songs I have covered, and you think those are the ones I should replay, message me and let me know. And keep your eyes out, because hopefully in the next couple weeks, we're going to have my newest book available, ready for purchase before Christmas, on the history of the hymns called The Church Sings, and you don't want to miss that. I'm Laurelee Siemens, and this is the Church History Podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to subscribe on YouTube or your favorite podcast app so you don't miss an episode. We release new content every Monday. And don't forget to check out our website at laurelleesiemens.com for more information and additional resources. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week as we continue our journey through the incredible history of the church.